This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. I don't think I'm coming in tomorrow, but you never know. all is well. All is well. It's been a busy week. Wow, it's been a busy week. Just been pushing to get some things done, a lot of pieces in play, etc., etc. But you know what? It's been a good week. It's been a good week. So last Friday was polka dot day. that was fun. That all went fine. It is fascinating to me. It's just fascinating. I had a conversation where I'm still trying to figure out exactly what's going on. I mean, I can intuitively and instinctively feel what the reactions are going to be, but it's really more intuition than it is me understanding exactly what the pieces are. I know the right pieces, but there's no form. When I'm writing and I'm trying to hit the moment, I have a pretty good idea as to how to outline that to hit the moment. And I have four basic principles that I work on, and I've talked about these before. So hitting the moment usually drops into one of these four categories. So it's validation, and that is where a supposedly lesser person is given value by a greater person. That causes an emotional response. Transcendence, where a supposedly lesser person is elevated. See, in validation, the elevation doesn't necessarily occur, but there is recognition. In transcendence, there is elevation of that person. So that can often cause an emotional response in people. There is reunion, where people are coming back together, parties are coming back together. So that's another place where you can get positive emotions created. And then there's sacrifice, where someone is intentionally doing something that is costing them dearly, and yet they're doing it for another person they don't necessarily have to do it for. You know, and that's... So that's when I'm trying to hit the moment. Those are kind of the four categories I look for, and I shape based on those categories, and that works. So I know that. And I know funny. I know funny juxtaposition is one of the things that you do with funny. Silliness is something you do with funny. Ridiculousness is something you do with funny. And maybe there's some of those components there. But this whole costume thing is just so fascinating, and I just love it. I just, because I get these reactions, specifically from women, I get these reactions where their face, they just light up, and it's just so lovely. You know, it really is just so lovely. And it's just so fun. You know, that because it's just, in what world does that happen where you just get these wonderful reactions? And there were lots of wonderful reactions, and lots of hooping and hollering and carrying on, and it was fun. We just had fun. Nothing really extraordinary aside from the fact that I went around. I mean, one thing, the funny that happened, I've mentioned before that the new administrator for the major department that I'm working for at this time, but he's got like radar or something, and every time I'm up there in some kind of an outfit, he is like walking down the hall right towards me. I mean, it's just like, wow, what in the world? And it's just happened over and over and over. The other administrator, that would never happen, and yet this guy is seen like every, unless he's, you know, been out of the office or something. And so it's polka dot day. he's back in the office. I know I'm at Cracker Barrel with a buddy, and we're jabbering away and everything, and here comes the administrator at Cracker Barrel. He walks over. He said, "I thought I recognized your voice." I said, "Well, it's Polkadot Day today," because you have to understand that Polkadot Day. For Polkadot Day, I had two sets of Minnie Mouse ears, and then I had made myself a Victorian ruffle collar, and I had made myself another kind of Victorian ruffled collar, both out of polka dot stuff. And then I had a polka dot long sleeve shirt on where each arm was a different type of polka dots. I had a Minnie Mouse shirt on, tank top, that I had put on the back, rock the dots, hashtag rock the dots, January 22nd, happy polka dot day, open parenthesis, and don't forget Minnie Mouse or else, close parenthesis, because I talked about that last week, how Disney just took over polka dot day. So I had that, fairly tight fitting shirt. I had Minnie Mouse house shoes that had the little red polka dot bow on them. I had polka dot socks. I had polka dot scrunchies on my ankles and my wrists. I had polka dot leggings where each legging was a different type of polka dot because I had built them that way because you can print your own leggings now. I had polka dot bloomers and I had a polka dot tutu on. So lots of polka dots. So we laugh and we carry on and that kind of stuff, but you know, it's... but it's just really interesting. And, you know, sometimes I put on these outfits and I'm thinking, oof, I hope this one's going to be okay. Because I don't know for sure. I don't know exactly where the line is. But it went fine. People, women especially, seem to enjoy it. And it's so fun when I get a particular type of reaction. And that is, I was with my buddy at Gailey's Breakfast Cafe, which is usually where I try to go if I'm going to have breakfast with anybody on Saturday, because I'm building a relationship with the staff there. And I was kind of seated. I always usually sit at a round table that they have there, kind of tucked in a corner in a little bit. And so typically what I do is I sit down so I'm facing my buddy and I can sort of see the rest of the restaurant, but not all of it. I mean, I try to focus on people when I'm having breakfast with them. And so I'm sitting there in my polka dot glory and I'm talking to my friend, and at one point he just stops talking. I mean, he just stops talking. He's just grinning and he stops talking. And so I turn around and one of the wait staff has come in and she's just grinning from ear to ear and she comes over and gives me a hug. And and he told me later, he said, after that, he said, yeah, he said, I saw her come in and her face just lit up and I just figured I'd stop talking because you're going to want to talk to her. And that happened three times. I think I got hugs three times. It's three times. I think it happened three times. One of them wanted a picture and stuff. But, you know, it's this just the joy on people's faces. It's just so lovely. It's just so wonderful. And I was talking to a buddy Tuesday night about this. And he said, well, yeah, that's the type of reaction that women have to babies. And I was like, yeah, well, that's true. I mean, it shares that family. It's innocence. There's an element of innocence in it. And he said, and that's why if this was a movie, you'd be getting killed. I said, right. Right. He said, because in the movies, we always have to kill innocents. I said, yeah, that's true. It's true. But yeah, it's fun. I think Valentine's Day is going to be fine. It's a little bit pushing the line, but I think it's going to be fine. It's probably going to be fine. See, if I knew better, but I think it's going to be fine. It probably. I'm sure. Sure. That's in like 2 weeks now. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. And I'm not, I don't quite have everything together. I'm hoping this weekend to kind of, you know, to get everything put together for that. And I'm close. I just have some, handwork to do, and I've got stuff to do. That it was funny because one of the Victorian collars that I made for Polka Dot Day, it was just wired ribbon, and you know, you just have to make it go up and down and 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 up and down, and then you know, sew it together. So it was like 5 hours worth of work. But I did it in the evenings, you know, when I was chatting with my wife and, you know, when we were watching TV or something, and so it was fine. So that was fun. I did, through the whole Polka Dot Day, get the sewing machine back from my daughter. I had bought myself a sewing machine years ago and used it on a couple of projects back then, and then she had borrowed it because she was trying to learn to sew, and so she brought it back, and YouTube videos, man, you gotta love those YouTube videos, because my wife was not there, and I couldn't remember how to thread the machine, and I couldn't remember how to do the bobbins and all that, but pff, go on YouTube, put in the type of machine, here it comes up, bang, 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 yeah, so got that under control, we're moving there, which I'm gonna need this weekend if I do, you know, the rest of the stuff. I gotta make some ruffle stuff for the Valentine's Day outfit. So, it's just so interesting. Anyways, Polka Dot Day went well, all is fine, it's good. Ramping up for Valentine's Day. The writing is going fine. I'm a little bit behind right now, but that's because we had the annual vision meeting for the church on Tuesday night, so I lost that time. And I ran sound last night for church, because they did a worship. They don't normally do a worship set on Wednesday nights, but they did a worship set, and so I ran video for that. So I'm a little behind, but I think I'm going to get caught up. I don't know if I'll get caught up tonight, but I'll have a good long day of writing tomorrow, and since it's just a regular day, I'll turn around and get back home, and I will carb up. That's one thing I haven't worked out yet, because if I know I need to do a good hard day of writing, the way I can get that done and just plow through as if I carb up. And it's simple carbs, too. It's just stuff. I mean, it's not the really, really... Well, it's not great. Like, if I get some, like, those puffed rice chip things, get a bag of those, and I just plow that and nuts. And I mean, well, nuts aren't carbs, but... bread, you know, those... That kind of thing. If I will do that, I can just plow. Because when I'm doing really creative stuff, I'm blowing through the glucose in my brain. And there's nothing that gets it replaced faster than just simple carbs. Of course, by the time the day's over, I feel lousy because I've been doing simple carbs. But man, I can get a lot of writing done. So I'm trying to figure out what the balance point is on that, and I don't have it yet. Like sweet potatoes, a little more complex carbs, they work, they just don't quite work as well. I don't know. I'll figure it out. But anyway, so I'll have a good hard day of writing on Friday, and then I'll have some on Saturday, although there is a worship seminar that I'm supposed to be at on Saturday, worship team seminar. So I'll have some to do there, but you know what? It'll be fine. It'll all work out. It'll be fine. I still don't have some of the details worked out on book 12. The important details worked out on book 12, but I'm getting closer. I can feel it coming now. You know, I know the steps to kind of get me closer to the mark, and ta-da, yeah. So, yeah. Step at a time. Family is well, all is well. There is sadness. There is sadness because I had made notes on an article that I had read. That it was a, it was a pretty interesting article, a bit, kind of clickbaitish, a little bit of clickbaitish, especially once you got all the way to the bottom of the article, and then there was a byline at the bottom of the article. I made all my notes, ready to go, had it all with me, left it on the printer, so I don't, have any notes, but I'm gonna talk about this anyways, just from memory, because I think I've got. I think I've got the pieces. We've talked multiple times about the three waves of science. Now, the first wave is just observation. And, for instance, primitive man takes a piece of clay, fashions it in the shape of an animal, says, well, there, see, I can make in an animal. You know, I just can't make it move, but that can't be that hard. And so then when primitive man looks around and imagines there is someone who has begun all this, who has crafted this glorious creation, God doesn't seem very far. And so it's easy to believe in a God. But then you do more and more investigation and you realize the increasing complexities. You start doing dissections. You start seeing all this unbelievable complexity that there is. And now that's intimidating, that someone could actually come up with that. And so man needs to push God away. Well, no, there's natural causes. It all just happened. It all just happened by itself, because the ability of a creature to do all that, the ability of a being to create the vastness of space and the universe is just too much. It's mind-boggling. And certainly, if there is a being who can do that, he can't be personal. So that's the second wave, where God gets pushed away then. God gets converted into unthinking, unplanned, random forces of nature. And then I think the third wave of science is when the complexity reaches a point where it just doesn't seem like that's possible anymore. And then you have to figure out what you're going to do at that point. So the article that I was going to talk about, I think it had a title something like, Is the Universe a Conscious Entity? Okay, well, that's pretty interesting. So it's like, oh, okay, let's read this. So you click on it. One of the first things I noticed about the article was that by the time you got all the way down through the article, the author had kind of redefined what consciousness meant. And it ended up being something very, very primitive and only loosely associated with what a reader would assume is meant by the word consciousness. So that's why I would say it was kind of clickbaitish, because you're like, whoa, wait, you know, so the universe has a mind, and the universe, and then you click on the article as well, not really, no, the universe doesn't have a mind, but we're going to call it consciousness, because it's just a primitive form of, okay, so in other words, you just wanted me to click on this article, which is fine, because that happens all the time, but the general idea is that there is, the author was putting forth, and I don't have the notes, so I can't give you the terminology for all this. He had the terminology that apparently there are people who are struggling to find some design, some guiding principle, some planning in the universe. And the reason they're trying to find some planning in the universe is because everything is so finely tuned. And this is where I'm sad that I don't have notes. Because they went through the things that I've probably gone through before, and you can find them, that there are so many pieces of this universe where the constants and the values that are fundamental to the universe existing are so finely tuned that it's really hard to just say it just happened by chance. And so one of the ways that the theorists get around this is the multi-universe. And so the more finely tuned it is, then the more people start leaning towards the multiverse, which means that there's a gajillion, an infinite number of multiverses out there that are all getting created and destroyed and created and destroyed and created and destroyed. And our universe is just one of that infinite number out there. So that since there's an infinite number, then sooner or later there's bound to be a universe where everything is fine-tuned so that life can arise, and therefore we can shake the dust off our hands and we can say, see, well, that's why we're here. Because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't finely tuned. And the only reason it's finely tuned is because there's a gajillion universes out there. So we're not a simulation. We're not divinely created. What we have here is a situation where we just happen to be the one in a 10 to the 10,000th something. And I mean, it is one in 10,000. That was part of the article. They actually had how many different possibilities you would have before you might stumble on something that was as finely tuned as our universe. And it ended up being, I don't know what the number was, but it was like one in the 10 to the 10,000th. It was just ridiculous. The number is just ridiculous. And then, frankly, if you start factoring in what are the chances of us actually developing a protein, and we've gone over those numbers before. I mean, there's not enough time. It's just impossible. But one of the ways that people explain this away is the multiverse. But this guy in his article initially had gone through that and the other way that we explain it, and that there is actually a creator. And he had been fairly dismissive about the multiverse. And I can't remember why. I think it was something to do with just a little too convenient, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so then he had been exploring the idea that the universe has some sort of base level consciousness, that in fact, in the early instant of Planck time, the universe actually chose to be finely balanced, which has a whole other set of problems with it. I'm trying to figure out how that happened. But one of the reasons I wanted to talk about the article was because of how easily dismissive the author of the article was for the theistic viewpoint. Because in terms of why he was rejecting the multiverse and the theist approach, that there was a designer and was a creator, he was saying how easily there are falsifiable, I think he called them falsifiable results or something, that they're easily, I can't remember exactly what term he used those, but there were things that you could just look and say, well, we can just dismiss that out of hand because of this. And what he used to dismiss out of hand, the theist approach, was, well, but if God is loving and kind, why is there evil in the world? I mean, it's just, frankly, in my opinion, it's a lazy person's approach to just dismissing a God, because it's just easy and it doesn't even try to consider the complexities of what God might be trying to accomplish. And I think there are people who offer very good and understandable, if people just don't want to be lazy, understandable things. You know, for instance, you can, just using the term evil and I've mentioned this before, is very convenient, but in fact, there are different types of bad things that happen to people. So there are things that are just part of natural consequence. We live in a complex, dynamic world that provides a lot of varied experiences for us, weather and earthquakes and thunderstorms. I mean, there's all kinds of variables in that. And out of that variability, we have lots of opportunities to learn lots of things. There is certainly a component of chaos here. The world is not safe. But as Jordan Peterson said, that is not evil so much as it is tragedy. And if you just open your eyes and look around, it's very easy to see that tragedy often results in people growing. It often results in people becoming stronger. And so if you remove all tragedy, you know, you end up with just kind of a safe room where you can never harm yourself and you can never, and that's not love. What if we raised our kids that way, like some people are? What if we just hovered around them all the time? We made sure that nothing bad ever happened to them and nothing was ever dangerous. I mean, you can see in those people that are raised that way that they can't cope with any sort of adversity. There you go. Any kind of adversity in their lives. They have no mechanisms because they've been protected, everything. You know. But beyond that, there is evil in the world. And true evil, I think, as I've mentioned before, can be traced back to free will. So, I mean, that's the explanation that makes perfect sense if you've had children, if you have just looked at people and looked at their experience. It's not hard to say, you know, you've got tragedy in the world and now you have free will. And the reason that you have free will is because free will gives you the opportunity for these amazing moments. Like we talked about last week, these amazing moments where against all adversity, against all tragedy, you can create this extraordinary thing under the discipline of life and under the constraints of time. That's really cool. That you can create moments. And while all the moments that were created on Friday with Polka Dot Day were just silly moments. They were just silly moments. They still were moments. And they will exist forever and ever and ever. The smiles and the hugs and the laughs, they'll exist forever and ever and ever. And so, you know, reading this guy, just completely dismissing the idea of a God who creates the universe, I just went, okay, well, hope that works out for you. But as I was reading about this, does the universe have a consciousness? I was thinking, yeah, it does. It does. Because Paul tells us that Jesus is holding all things together by the power of his will. So yeah, Jesus is the universe's consciousness. The universe does have a consciousness. His name is Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. And I don't know how all that stuff works together. But he is in every molecule. He's in every breath that we take. He's in every moment of our lives. He's everywhere. And there's a reason that everything is so finely tuned, and we don't need a gajillion multiverses to make it happen. Because he chose in that Planck time when he said, let there be light, and there was light. He chose. He balanced everything so that we could exist, so that we could have these moments flowing through time, so that we could have free will, so that we could make decisions to be good and not evil, so we could create wonder and beauty and art, and so that we would have the ability to create all the other horrific things that we have created. Because that's what comes when you give someone free will. What's interesting about this article is you get through this whole article and this guy lays out this whole huge case about, you know, does the universe have a consciousness, blah, 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 blah. He gets through this whole huge thing. And this article, I found out later, was published like in February of 2019. And then the article's published, and apparently he talked to a few people, and then he made a blog post, just, it looked like it was just a couple of weeks later, where he said, yeah, you know what, never mind. and I thought the guy wrote a book, too. I was like, he basically, in this blog post, as near as I could see, came out and said, yeah, never mind, I'm just going with the multiverse concept. Okay. Because people really don't want to acknowledge that there is a creator. But if people would acknowledge that there is a creator, and then if they would take the time to get to know him, and they would take the time to recognize how he is in their lives moment by moment, and listen for him and respond to his, oh, life is good. Life is good. Life is good. And we just keep going from moment to moment, and all is well. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.